We're up to the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. Divrei Yom Aleph Perek Yud Beis. We begin a new section. The Eilah Haboyim El David Lit Siklok. Interesting that this section does not appear, does not have a corresponding Perek in Shmuel. Most of the things in Divrei Hayamim, if you look hard enough, you'll find references to it in Shmuel and Malachim. Yet this section, like we learned the last couple of days, Perek Yud Aleph, is in Perek Chaf Gimel, the Giborim, Hagibor Masher Hayeludah Asher LeDavid. It's obviously very different. There are more Giborim listed here. There are different expressions. There are different details, there are contradictions, things have to be reconciled, and so on and so forth. We discussed some of these things in the last couple of days. But this particular section of what took place in Siklag is not mentioned anywhere in Sefer Shmuel. So that itself is very interesting. That already sheds light on what is the purpose of Sefer Divrei Hayamim. We're coming to establish the Malchus of David, establish the legitimacy of his Malchus. This that it was taken away from Shaul and given to David. And here we're doing that in a very big way. We're showing how people defected from the camp of Shaul and joined David. It adds more to the legitimacy of the Malchus of David. People actually recognize David even when Shaul was still acting as king. And that really fits very much in line with the purpose of Divrei Hayam. We were trying to build up David as much as we possibly can. Okay, so here we have David. Now, in Siklag, there's a period of time before when Shaul was still alive. David was in the Machane Plishtim. David had no choice but to run away from Shaul, from the main part of Eretz Yisrael, because his life was in danger. He went to Melech Ochish, and he made believe there was a whole show going on. He made believe that he was really fighting against Bnei Yisrael. David pretended that he defected from Bnei Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael, because they were trying to kill him. They were trying to take his life for no reason. He now joined the enemy and is going to fight Bnei Yisrael. Of course, Chas v'Shalom, David never caused any harm to a single member of Klal Yisrael, but it was a very delicate balancing act to make believe that he was on the side of the Plishtim and yet not cause any harm to Bnei Yisrael. So that's what's happening here at this point in time. He's in Siklag. Shaul is still alive. Oid Otsur, the Pasuk makes it very clear, he is still Otsur. He is still contained. He is still contained or on the run. Over here, Nechba, in hiding. The Mitzudah Sion says Nechba, he is in hiding. V'chalu, two words, Nechba, v'chalu, in prison. Tav Yachal, he's in prison from Shaul. Because of Shaul ben Kish, Ve'heima b'giborim, and the following list of people, this goes back from the beginning of the Pasuk, Ve'heima b'giborim oizrei ha'melchama, the list of people that we're going to present now are among those who are in the group called the giborim oizrei milchama. I found a very good word today with me, the art scroll. I found it very interesting how he takes note of all the different expressions of there is Giborei Chayil Latzava, that is Yoytzei Tzava Orchei Milchama, Yoytzei Tzava La'aroch Milchama. There are many expressions all over the place. Every few psukim we find another set of Giborim, and we're calling them by a different title, a different term. Here, a different description. Here we're calling them, these people that we're about to list, they are the Giborim, who are the Ozrei, who assist HaMilchama. How does that difference than the Yotzei Tzava La'aroch Milchama, those who go out in the army to arrange war, how does that difference than Yotzei Tzava Orchei Milchama, the arrangement of war? And how does that differ than the expression Giborei Chayil La'Tzava? I don't know. But and they also mention over here in this introduction, this practice, they also do not know. But obviously, there are things that are lost from us in the nature of how different members of David's army were divided. Just like it was mentioned yesterday, today, like Lahavdil, Elif, Alpha, Dolus, there are the Marines, there is the Army, there is the Air Force, there is the Navy, and then there are different types of other offices, the CIA, all Likewise, in the time of David, different people had different talents, and they were divided into different groups. Okay, let's go for
like logistics. Osri,
it could be support. But why do they need to be giborim?
It's similar to the Sahel, where you have your regular infantry guys
right.
will do the work in the Shetach, and then you have your special teams.
Special teams, and you have support groups. Exactly. Yeah, so you have many.
They really have the balance.
Many, many different types. So, but yet they're called giborim. See, normally today, I think today, the way we people who are not fit to fight in war, you know, the weaker people who are not the giborim are set aside for support.
Office work.
Right, and that's not what we'll say here. These are giborim. Vehema ba giborim oizere hamilchama. So, if you take a little, they're helping. They're the support team. The support team are not the giborim. No. They are the Gibor. Yeah. So obviously our translation of Ezra HaMilchama is incorrect.
It wouldn't be worth mentioning their names if they weren't noteworthy.
Exactly. So obviously there is something, I just want to point out, there is something that is lost from us. That's the point that Rabbi Eisenman is making here in his Hakdama. There is obviously something that is lost from us. You just can't give these general terms. Oh, these are the warriors, these are the soldiers. It's a lot more complicated than that. The army was divided into different divisions, different people, different talents. Everyone did their thing, and everyone was needed, and everyone was called a gibor. And just didn't want to bring out that point. Okay, let's go be a pasuk base. Noshke keshes. Noshke means arm. That's a hard word. Neshek means a weapon. But here it's been used in a verb. It's not being used as a noun. Noshke keshes means armed with bows. Maiminim umas milin. They were ambidextrous. No difference between the right and left. That's a very unique talent to be a gibor. What?
Switch hitters.
They could fight. They could shoot with a gun. I don't know how it works today in the army. If you're a righty, someone once told me something about that. That if you're a lefty in the army, they don't let you do certain things. The United States Army. Anything about this?
They separate.
What?
They separate.
So what do they do? They have a different.
They and their practice. They separate.
They separate you. What do they do? They put you on a different team.
Lefties against lefties.
Interesting. So you see, there is such a thing. I don't know how it's working in the Sahel. I don't know. But obviously, there is something to it. If a person's a sniper and you're a righty, you're different than if you're a sniper and you're a lefty. It's a whole different type of art. It could be that are the guns tailor-made for righty and lefty? Maybe there is something to it. There are different types of... Look, we live in a right-handed... Cars are made for righties. That's a fact, right? The pedals and all the controls... We live in a right-handed world.
I once saw
yeah.
a store
yeah.
exclusive with items that
for lefties.
For lefties.
Right. They have an extended cool place.
If you want to buy a very expensive...
Very expensive pair of scissors.
Yeah, scissors is the worst. You're a lefty?
Yeah. Lefty.
A mouse. A computer mouse. Okay, the most expensive. You can buy a mouse for $100. They're custom made. They're custom made for your hand. It's very, this very comfortable, high-tech for the computer. You cannot buy... The same tie, the custom, those very expensive custom made mouse is for lefties. They only make them for righties.
Because lefties are adaptable.
Are they? Yeah. I'm not adaptable. I'm a lefty. I can't.
In the army.
Yeah. Yeah. But if your koyach is in your left hand, it's different.
Yeah, yeah. It was very hard. And then you shot with your left hand because. By then, you knew what to do. Okay. You could adapt to it.
Saying it's not so, the koyach.
The percentage of programmers that are lefties
yeah.
are much greater than the other.
And computers, right. That's the mind. It's computers are more mathematical, and lefties are better at math, except for me. But that's an interesting point. But here, we deal in ancient times, there were no guns. How do they fight with bows and arrows? A bow, you need a lot of strength, not like these little 99-cent bow and arrows that you don't like Omer. These, to pull the bow string, you need a lot of power. And if you are a righty, if you're a lefty, and you're trying to pull the bow string with your left hand, it's not with your right hand.
A little bit on the right side of the bow, there's a little niche with the arrow.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be there for a lefty.
Uh-huh. So you see... It all depends if you're righty or lefty.
A bow that was made for a lefty, a real bow.
And that's what it says. This is a fascinating pasuk. Noshke, in order to be called a gibor, you have to train yourself to have the same koyach in the right and the left hand, ambidextrous. Noshke keshes, Maiminim umas milim. What do they need to be equal power right and left for? Bo'avonim, to throw stones. Uvachitzim, arrows. Bakoshes, to the use of a bow. And all of the people that we're about to list now, the pasuk concludes by telling us they were all members of Shevet Binyamin, the Shevet of Shaul. So in other words, these people are leaving the camp of Shaul. They are joining the camp of Yehuda of David. And that's why it's extremely important for this to be mentioned here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, to show that even Shevet Binyamin, even at the time when Shaul was alive, already pledged their loyalty to David. That adds a greater degree of legitimacy to the Malchus of David. Me'achei Shaul, from the brethren of Shaul, mi Binyamin, from Shevet Binyamin. Let's just see the Mitzvahs.
Shevet Binyamin was known for Mitzvahs, weren't they?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think
yeah? You saw somewhere? Could be.
Huh?
What?
Ishimini.
Ishimini, that's the right. Ishimini. So the, right, he's called, no, that's the right, but we don't need the left. No, let's see.
Ehud ben Gera.
Yeah.
Referred to as a man who used his opposite hand. He tear yad yimini.
So okay. So maybe we do fine. Let's see the mitzudos very quickly. The following people that we're going to list very quickly in the next halal psukim were people that joined David when David was already atzur. He was hiding in Shaul. Vehema bagibardim nechshav mehema bein hagibardim oizre nitzachoin hamilchama. The mitzudos adds one more word, not just Israel. There must be some significance of Nitzachon, the success of the war, the victory of war. I mean, they were people that you can use ambidextrous. Maiminim, Shaltim b'shtei yideihem liros bo'avonim uvachitzim al yidei hakeshes, to throw stones and arrows through the bow. Me'achei Shaul, mikrovei Shaul mebnei Binyamin. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk. Pasuk Aleph, Oid Otsur Nechba, Noishke Keshes, armed. What does it mean, Noishke? Neshek is a weapon. Here it means a verb. It's Mizuyonim. By Keshes, they were armed with bows, Uvachitzim, with arrows, Umayrim, Lifnehem, Uleacharim. They can shoot forward and backwards. Af Bavonim, Hoyonoistim al Yeser HaKeshes. So here Rashi says something very interesting. If you take the Pasuk very literally, you'd say that they just threw stones with their bare hands, right? You take a stone and you throw the stone. No, they put the stone, they use stones as arrows. A whole new type of warfare, something that we're not really familiar with.
Like a slingshot.
You would think that you can throw a stone with your hand further than you can throw it than the bow of the can propel the stone. Obviously, we don't really know what a bow and arrow is. The koyach of a bow and arrow, the bow is so powerful that you can propel a stone with the bow further and with more force than you can do it with your own hand. Tell that to the average person. They'll tell you you know what you're talking about. How far can you throw a stone already when you take a bow and arrow and you pull you hold the stone on the string, you pull it back and you let go? How far is it going to go? 10 feet. If you take it and you throw it, you can throw it, who knows, 500 feet. No, it seems over here that there's something more to a bow and arrow than we really know. Okay, they have these massive bows, and arrows. They would lie there on the ground, use their feet. There's the whole art in using a bow and arrow. But it says over here, "Avadim ha yunoistim al yeser hakeshes." They would put the stone on the yeser on the bowstring. Even Moirim ve'ani reisi kin harbi. Rashi here says, whoever this parish is, the Mefarish says, I saw this with my own eyes. People put stones on the bowstring and propel the stones long distances. Because they all came from Shevet Binyamin, Achei. We call them brothers. They're not really brothers. They're cousins. These are long, long distant cousins. But being that they all come back from Binyamin, Ben Yaakov, Lefi Shakulam, Bo Yatsu Bish Echa, Binyamin Krim Kulam, Achim, Lchod, Gedulas David, Oimer, Miachei Shol. Why are we mentioning this? It's a very important Rashi. In order to give cover to David. The whole Sefer Rashi is consistent. The entire Sefer Divrahim all goes back to David and David. Therefore, to Lchod, Gedulas David, Oimer, Miachei Shol, Shafilu, Achei Shaul, even Shaul, the previous king, who was the current king, Bohu Ela Ba'ot Shaul Chai, they came and they pledged their loyalty to David when Shaul was still alive. Let's now go to the list of names very quickly. Harosh, Pasigim, Harosh, Achi Ezer. Number one was Achi Ezer, V'yosh. Number two was Ayosh, B'nei Hashemo'o, Hagivasi, from the people of name of a place.
You know, Givati is the great.
Givah Shaul.
What? No, Givati is a brigade, right. An Israeli army.
Okay.
Givati.
It's a borrowed term, but here it's Givasi. Givasi, similarly, is the name of a place. Hashmo'o Hagivasi, in either name of a place, or maybe name of a person, the same thing over here in the first. What? A place, a name of a place. Hashmo'o Hagivasi, name of a place. Okay, VZL. Next is VZL, the name of a person. Fofelet, they are B'nai Azmoves. We had that name already a few times. If the same person I do not know, as we had already twice before, but we have this name again. Uvracha, another person. Uvracha, is that a woman? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a woman, but we have over here, she was a leader in the, she fought a war. So we know today it's a big thing for women to fight in war, have equal rights to fight in combat. So if you want to say that if Uvracha was a woman, you have a very interesting pasuk here. I don't know, maybe it was a man. What? I have no idea if it's a man or a woman. The Yehu Ho An Sosi, and Yehu from the place called An Sosi. Next pasuk.
Anasos.
Name of a place. Pasuk Dalet. Vishmaya Hagiv Oini. Name of a place. This person from this place called Givoin. Gibor Bashiloshim. He was a Gibor over 30. Again, we said many times that the troops were divided into groups of 30. He was the leader of the 30, the Al Hashalashim. He was the Gibor among the 30. He was the strongest of the 30, and he was the leader of the 30, the Al Hashalashim. Pasek Hey, the Yirmiya. We have now the Yirmiya, and obviously that's not the same Yirmiya. That's not the same Yirmiya from a few hundred years later. Obviously, this is a much older Yirmiya. The Yirmiya. V'yachaziel, v'yochanan, v'yozavad, ha-gedeirasi, from this place called Gedeira. Next, el-uzai, v'rimos, uv'al-ya, u-shemar-yahu, u-shefat-yahu, ha-cha-rufi, fame of a place. Next comes Elkana. The Elkana is indeed, this I believe, is the father of Shmuel. Right, so this is the father of Shmuel. I think that's how most Mufashim learn. Look in Pasuk Zion here in the no, the reason Zion. I think I saw it somewhere in my preparation that this indeed is.
He was a Levi.
So then it couldn't be then. If he was a Levi, Elkanah.
Yeah,
Elkanah was a Levi. Shmuel was a Kohen. Shmuel, so it cannot be. Okay, you're right. So then this cannot be from Beishai ben Yamin. You're right. So it has to be someone else. Elkanah. V'yishiyahu v'azarel v'yezer v'yashavam ha-korchim from korchim korch, they were the Levim. They were Levim, so these are. So that has to mean that over here they were listing people that were not only from Binyamin. Okay, it could be that we're not, over here we're referring to people not only from Shevet. Adas Korach from the family of Korach. Elkanah, Hayim Bnei Korach. Elkanah was from Bnei Korach. So Kobe, maybe it means over here that it's from Binyam that he had that double Yichos, mother and father. Even though maybe from the father he was from Korach and he was a, but we're still grouping him among the category of Binyamin because it could be that he was related to the mother.
This is much later anyway than you
did. Is it much later? Is it much later? But we were saying over here, Elkanah. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Elkanah v'yishiyahu v'azarel v'yoyezer v'yashavam ha-korchim. Okay, you're right. Pasik ches v'yoyela uzevadya b'nei yirocham min ha-gedar from the name of the place. These two people. Next, umin ha. Okay, fine. That concludes Shevet Binyamin. So everything we learn over here is Shevet Binyamin. All starting from Pasik Gimel through Pasik Ches. Now we come to Shevet God. Okay, there is a group of people from Shevet God that also joined David. Umin Hagodi, we know we spent some time that God were the mightiest warriors of Klal Yisrael. They have the brach of Yaakov, that every single one of them will come back from war. They're extremely powerful, that none of them will be lost in war. And we have the brach of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'toraf zeroya afkot kod, they will cut off the head. Gedudim troops, God lashon of gedudim of troops, battalions, and the brach of Moshe Rabbeinu, that their power will be so great they'll be able to have a unique way of killing their enemy. They'll cut off in one slice they will cut off the head and the arm of their enemy. And we discussed the significance of that, that who has to go back from Mulchama? If a person is Yorei V'rach HaLevav, he returns from the Orchei HaMulchama. And what does it mean, according to Chazal? Yorei Me'avero Shebiyodo. Afilu Soch Bein Tzfilo L'Tzfilo. You talk between the Tzfilin Shel Yad and the Tzfilin Shel Rosh. God did not go back from war. They were not afraid because they were tzaddikim. They were not Soch Bein Tzfilo L'Tzfilo. Therefore, they were Zocha in war. They were able to kill their enemy with the head and the arm in one shot. The head is symbolic of the Tefillah Shel Rosh, and the Yad is symbolic of the Tefillah Shel Yad. Zelu mazeh, they were tzaddikim gumurim, they did not have to go back for more. They had the koyach muhammad to cut, to zroya af cut. So we discussed that a while ago. That's God. That was Shevet God, yeah?
You can see all of these warriors who are in David's camp or are moving away from Shaul toward David's camp, and you see lots of times the ruler is determined by the military. And so we see the alliances shifting in the direction of David and away from Shaul. Because whoever controls the military,
well, that we discussed yesterday, that in the time of Chazal, being a gibor and being a tzaddik, having Ruach HaKodesh, went hand in hand. Okay. Pasuk test. Umin Hagadi Nivdulu El David Lamtsad Midboro. Lamtsad is a fortress, same as Mitsuda. We discussed this. I told you from the Malbim that idea that there are two different types of fortresses. There is a natural fortress that is formed from Maisa Bereshis. There happens to be rocks and hills and valleys just happen to form in a natural way, which is ideal for protection. The Golan Heights. There are certain things which are strategic positions in land, and then there are things which are man-made. So according to the Malbim, whenever it says Mitsuda, that refers to a man-made fortress. When it says the word Matsad, Lamtsad, without the head, that refers to a natural fortress, a piece of land that has naturally been formed by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Maisa Bereishis, which is strategic. It's a stronghold for a person that has control and lives there. So here David was living in the land of the Plishtim. He was living in Tziklag, and we have here a part of God. This is a different period of time. I take that back. This is not the case of Siklag. A different point in time. He was in the desert and he was on the run. And the people from God, they saw that Hashem was with David, and they separated themselves to join David. Lamtsad midbara, gibori hachayil, they were warriors. So here we have a different expression. This is what we mentioned before. Here they're called gibori chayil. Not like what it says in Pasuk Aleph, groups of people that were called giborim oizrei hamilchama. The people from Binyamin were the Oizrei, the Giborim Oizrei Milchama. But the people of God, they were called the Giborei HaChayil, a whole different battalion. Anshei Tzava, they were warriors, they were part of the army. La Milchama, Orchei Tzino V'Roimach, they arranged shields and spears. Obviously very different, not people that were ambidextrous, that can throw stones and arrows with their bow. They had a different function. They fought with shields and with spears, and a whole different form of warfare. Ufnei Arye Pinehem, these were ferocious people. The people of Shevet God, they looked like lions. When the enemy just looked at them, they were terrified, they melted away. Uvichitzvoyim al hechodim, they were like deer, a tzvi. A tzvi runs very quickly, it's very swift. They were extremely swift, al hechodim, lemaher, to move very quickly. Let's see the Mitsudos few psukim. Pasuk Gimel, just to run through these very quickly, we're going back to the names of the people from Shev Ben Yamin. Men Abom HaYahrosh Achiezu Bo Imo Yoyosh Ochef Ehim Abnei Shashamo. That's what we mentioned before, the families from Shev Ben Yamin that joined David. Gibor B'Shleshim Hu Hoya Gibor B'Hassarim U'Memuna Alehem. He was the leader of the 30. HaKorchi Elkana Hoya Mbnei Korach Elkana. We have here in this group of people from Binyamin, we have mention of Korach, the Korach family, which was part, a branch of the Levi, one of the four major branches of Shevet Levi. Somehow they are being included together with the people from Binyamin. Either they lived together, or they were related through marriage, or we're just adding a small group, appending a small group to this larger group. Okay, pasuk tes, nivdalu, me'im shahol, nivdalu, the people from God also, what does it mean they separated? Who do they separate themselves from? The word nivdal has that connotation, you're leaving. Who are you leaving? You're leaving shahol. Me'im shahol, nivdalu, lelechas al David, el ha-metsuda, asher b'midbar, shay David, nechba, sham David was hunting there in this fortress. Anse, anshei tzava, lemudim, lotse, spat tzava, milchama, v'erche, milchama, b'tzina, v'hu kein mogein, they would fight with shields. You have to see, I told you this many times, the documentaries of how they fought in ancient times. It's amazing, the technique of how they would march with these interlocking shields. It's fascinating. The shields interlocked with one another, and they marched in formation, and that's how they kill the enemy. They just march forward, and they also would bang. These were extremely heavy. They would bang the shields one against the other, and they made incredible noise. And the noise itself terrified. That was an act of war. It terrified the enemy. There's an art in fighting, psychological warfare, and also in power and how and with their spears. And you know these they have today. They shields. They weigh like 100 pounds. It's amazing. They wonder how in the world could a soldier carry such a shield, especially in the hot desert. A shield made from bronze. It's an incredible. Yeah, they had to be very big people, very strong people to be able to do this. And that is what Shevet God they specialized in. Let us see some of the Rashis. Rashi Pasik Dalit, Vial Hashalishim Rosh Lashaloshim, the head of the 30. Okay, Pasik Tes, Lam Tzad Midbara, Limitsudos Hamidbar Shenechba Mimne Shaldiksev, Vayakumu Vayelchu Zifa, David ran away to the place of Zifa, Lifne Shaul, before Shaul. V'davah anasha midbar ma'on b'midbar ma'on b'arava v'chsev ayal dav misham v'yesha b'mitsudas in Gedi. During the various battles when David was running away from Shaul, he won one time. He was in these very different fortresses in En Gedi, in Zifa, in different places in the Arava, where David had to flee from Shaul. He was in the Midbar. Ufnei Aryeh. So it says about Shevet God that they were ferocious people. Just their face looked like lions. Pneim mifuchadim ke Aryeh. Their faces invoked terror like a lion. Uchit sevia uch. And they were like deer. That was very quiff. The very V'chitz v'yim al harim l'maher kalim hayu b'mirutzasam kidarkon shel tzva'am tzva'im. It's the derech of a deer larutz al harim kishet tzadin oisam. When you try to trap a deer, it runs very quickly on the mountains. Okay, let's go further. Ezer Harash. So who are the people?
Geographically, they were also close to each other.
God,
Zif is the south, the Har Hebron area.
Yeah.
And if you go due east as the crow would fly, you would reach En Gedi at the very end of it.
Okay, so these locations mentioned in Rashi are near each other. Okay, so
now
we go.
Simply on the other side of the river. So
they're the Eir
HaYarden. They weren't that far away.
Okay, so here we go to Pasuk, the names of the people that were part of Shevet God. Ezer Harosh. Now, it's interesting, I don't know why, but when it comes to Shevet God, we actually give everyone by number. We go all the way up to 11. We count each person by number. Suddenly, we did not do by the people from Shevet Binyamin. Only by Shevet God, we count them by number. Maybe that's symbolic that they were very distinguished. And that's why they were worthy of having been counted one at a time. Whenever you count something, yeah?
Maybe it's not a count, but a rank.
Could be. Could be.
It's an ordinal number.
Okay.
It's not a cardinal number.
Okay. Ezer Harosh, he was in charge. Ovadia Hasheni, he's number two. Eliyot Hashlishi. Mishmano Horvi, Yirmiyo Hachamishi, Atai Hashishi, Eliel Hashivi, Yochulan Hashmini, El Zavod Hateshi, Yirmiyo Hoasiri, and Machbanai Ashte Osar. He was 11. Eile Mibne God, Roshe Hatzava. These are the leaders of God, the heads of the army. Echod Limeo Hakoton, the weakest, one soldier from the weakest can pursue 100. The Hagodol, and the leader, the more mighty, can pursue 1,000. The Hagodol lo olef. Let's see the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos pasik. So we already did those. Let's just run the pasuk. Tezvav hakaton hachalosh shebohem. The weakest. Echad yirdof meya. Would pursue 100. V'hagibar shebuchem echad yirdoif elef. Rashi, Rashi, this is a fulfillment of the bracha, Pasik Tesvav. Rashi says, Eile, Kedosiv Lamalo, Min Hagodi, Divlu, Min Eldavid, Echelameo, Hakaton, Hakaton, Shabukulam Yudof, Emeo, Vagodol Elef, Vagodol Shabukulam Yudof Elef, Kan Niskayem, Hapasuk. Here was fulfilled the bracha, Verotfu, Mikem, Chamisha, Mea, Umea, Mikem, and 100 of you. What's the pasuk include? 10,000 Yerdofu. So it's a little bit different. The numbers are not the same. The numbers are here. It says 5 will pursue 100. Here the bracha is even greater. 1 is pursuing 100. The katon is pursuing 100. The Torah says 5 will pursue chamisha meya. I don't know the significance. I don't know why.
Change the yards.
It's the bracha. Hashem is the bracha was fulfilled greater than what the Torah promised. That's a very interesting idea. Hashem said 5 for 100, and here it's being fulfilled. Even one, even the smallest, is even one is able to pursue 100. Okay, let's go further. Pasik tes zayin elahim asher avu es hayarden. And these people, these 11 people. We're discussing their incredible might. What do they do? We mentioned their feats of greatness, similar to what we mentioned yesterday about Binayahu ben Yehoyada. He was able to go and kill the Ari, Shnei Ari El Moav, on a snowy winter day. And we mentioned the other things that other Giborim did, to snatch the spear from the enemy, all the different things that we mentioned about the Giborim. So here as well, we want to mention the Gevura of these warriors from Shevet Gad. What they do, Elohim, they crossed the, they swam across the Yarden on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That is Sakonis Nefashis. Because Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the spring, after all the snow on the mountains have melted, and the river, the Yarden, is gushing. It's gushing with high, very flesh floods. And to go and try to swim across the Yarden at this time, the chances of making it to the other side are very, very small. You'll be totally swept away in the current, and the massive current, you'll be swept downstream, and who knows what will happen. They were Giboirin. They were able to swim against the current, or to maintain the ability to get to the other side. That is an incredible feat of Gevura. Elohim asher avu es hayarden, when? Bachodesh harishayin, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Yarden is at its peak. For whom mimalei al, and at that time of the year, mimalei al gidosof, it is filled to its banks, the water is at its peak. And what do they do when they cross the other side of the Yarden? So you would imagine, it's already the Guinness Book of World Records. To get through, you have to exert every bit of energy you have just to survive crossing the Yarden. No, that was just the beginning. Like Iron Man, right? Iron Man, after you swim, you gotta get on the bike, and you gotta run. That's just the beginning. After they got to the other side, they were able to wipe out a whole city. What do? Vayavrichu. Vayavrichu here means they caused to flee. They pursued. They attacked. Eskol ho'amokim, all of the people living in the valleys. There are different parishes what this pasuk means. We'll learn now according to one parish. All of the people living in the valleys, la'mizrach v'la'marav, on the east and the west, wanted. They got to the other side. Once they crossed over, they were able to go and wipe out a whole village on the east, the west. We're not really familiar with the details of why the east and the west, but there was some kind of village on the other side where there were enemies living on both sides, and they were able to wipe them out. Let's see the Metzudos first in the Rashi. Pasik tez zayin, v'hu mimalei, ki oz misrabim hamayim min hafroshas shalogim. At that point in time of the year, the river is full to its banks because of the melting snow. Uvavur zehoy hayadin mole al mole, ad shaholchu hamayim al kol sifasav, on all of its sides. Ulegvura gedoylo techoshev. This is considered a very great act of might. La'avor b'mayim amukim, to pass through deep waters, shaitvim, that are flowing, that are gushing, v'lo yishtafuhu hamayim, and not to be swept up in the waters. And then what do? They're not finished. V'yavrichu im ki nisyagu b'avram b'mayim, even though they were tired after passing through the water, mikol makim hivrichu kol yoshrei hamakim lepo lepo. They wiped out the enemy on both sides. They did not hold back the strength lamoid kinegdom, and the enemy was not able to hold back. Opposite them, they were able. They were defeated. Rashi says Eila heim. The snow already has melted. What does that mean? So there are different interpretations. Rashi is giving us a different interpretation. It's very interesting. Rashi, normally when you walk through the river, normally when you go through a river, the rivers are not always so deep. Sometimes you're able to actually stand in the river. But when the river has ditches, it's very dangerous because some of the ditches are very, very deep. And if you walk in the river, you may sink in the river. So what do? They took their shields. Okay, it's not clear what this means. I don't know what this means. You have to have a lot of soldiers to do this. They took their shields and they stood in formation and they were able to stop the river from flowing or to divert, to create a dam, to either divert the flow of the water or to prevent it. And that allowed a large group of people to walk in front of the shields on dry land. They made a temporary dam with their shields. Very hard to understand, but that's what it says. Rashi is one more look. That's a coin interpretation. Avos hayarden ubaku. They broke forth bimaginehem with their shields. They erected their shields in the water in such a way where it prevented the water from flowing, from continuing to flow, and that way on the other side of the shields, they were able to walk on dry land. As called Imke Hamayim, Lemizruch Lemayim, on the east and the west, for Avru Bayabasha, and they were able to walk through the other side on dry land. Okay, there must be some more details that I'm missing, I'm not explaining it right, but that's the gist of what it means. They entered, and they prevented the water from flowing with their shields, and they will be able to pass in the dry land. The Yeshayim, like I told you before, this had the Metzudas stones. Yeshayim, Vayavrichu es kol hamakim. It means Amim, the nations. Vayavrichu does not mean that they caused the water to flee. According to the first interpretation of Rashi, Vayavrichu is going on the water. They diverted the flow of the water. The water was in their way, so they changed its course through an artificial means of erecting barriers in the water. According to the second interpretation, which is the way we learn the Mitzudos, it means they swam across the Yarden, and when they got to the other side by Avrichu, they caused the enemy to flee, to run away from them. They caused the nations that are living in the Amokim to run away. Okay, so that concludes the people of God. Now let's do a few more psukim. Vayavohu min b'nei v'yamin v'yehuda ad lamtsod l'david. Now we have another group of people. Now we have a group of people that are coming to visit David and to tell David that they want him. That this appears to take place. This incident takes after the death of Shaul. Okay, now we're jumping ahead a couple of years. Shaul has died. He was killed in the Milchama with the Pelishtim. And for a period of 5 years, David was still not accepted as Melech. Shaul's son Ish-bosheth took over. And then after Ish-bosheth died, there was just a void. There was no real accepted leader for the majority of Klal Yisrael. And here is the point, these are very important psukim, where they are coming to David, and they're telling David, we want you to be our melech. So, vayavohu min b'nei v'nyamin v'yehuda. Here it mentions there are two tribes coming to David. Binyamin, who are the followers of Shaul, and Yehuda. Now, this was done on purpose because they were afraid that if b'nei Binyamin alone would come, David would not trust them. They would think this is some type of scheme to pull David out into the open. And then they would kill David, because who is here? My enemies are here. The people from Shevet Binyamin, those that are loyal to Shaul. They're just trying to expose me and to make believe they're my friends. And then when I am vulnerable, they will cause me harm. So what they did was they joined up with David's own people, from David's Shevet, from Shevet Yehuda. Specifically, we have here Amosai, David's nephew. David had a sister, and David's sister Tsruya, and one of her children was Yoav, and the other's child was Amosai. Amosai was a brother of Yoav, if I'm not mistaken. And he knows that not true.
Yoav,
so they were the brothers. They were three brothers, right? So Amosai was the brother of Yoav. And he's now going to come to David together with the people from Sheva Binyamin and ask David to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So here we go. Let's run through the story very quick. They went out to the fortress where David was staying. David raised his voice and he said to them, "Why are you coming to visit me? Im l'shalom bosem elai le'azreini yiyeh li aleichem levav li'yochad." If you're coming for peace, then you know what? I have no tainus. I have no complaints. Then it should be the will of Hashem. He should direct my heart that I should be one with you. I'm willing to let bygones be bygones. Let's forget about the past. I'm willing that my heart, levav liyochad, a beautiful expression, my heart should be one with you. I have no complaints and I'll be with you. But v'im liramo sani, but if you're coming to deceive me, litzarai, to be my enemies, to cause me harm, to trick me, then, now I want to warn you, any harm and deceit you bring upon me is wrong, because I have done to you nothing. Beloy chomos bechapai. Chomos means violence. Pamai means my palms, my hands. I have done nothing bad to Shaul. I never did any harm to Shaul. I had many opportunities to kill him. I never killed him. What? Two opportunities, at least twice. I never did anything to him. I did no harm to Shaul. And there's no reason why he should hate me. And we know the only reason why he hated him was because because of this evil spirit which prevailed on him. And there's no reason why you should continue perpetuate this bad will. Yere, if you want to do this, you want to come to deceive me, and you want to come litzarai, to be my enemies and to cause me harm, and you should be aware that I have done nothing wrong. Yere Elokei Avoseinu, may Hashem, the God of our forefathers, be a witness. Yere in this context means may he see. May Hashem be the witness, the yochoch, and may he be the judge. David basically is saying, I'm loiser dine lashonayim. Very powerful. We have halacha in the Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to be moiser dinoi la shamayim. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go say. It's a very scary thing to say that I'm innocent. Hashem should be my witness and Hashem should be my judge. If you have a problem, go to court. You go to court. If the court's not going to help you, then there's nothing you can do. So don't go sit. May Hashem go and strike you out. Send out a bolt of lightning and punish you. That's not a good thing, because the ain't tzadik b'arz shayasat ve'lo yechata, and the person that's being mo'er din may really have some problems in himself, and it's never a good thing to be mo'er din la shamayim. There are exceptions. Chazal do be an exception that a person is absolutely certain that he is tzadik, he's innocent. And number two, if there is no way, there is no court, the circumstances are such where there is no bez in which you can approach, because that there is no benefit, or the circumstances are such that you're just not able to do so, then the person is technically allowed to be moiser dinei lashamayim, but otherwise not. So here, I guess, in this case, David felt that he is 100% innocent. He's making that statement, that my hands are clean. My hands are clean. Beloy chamos bechapai. If David says it, it's not like when we say it. David really means it. And obviously, David is vulnerable. He's all alone here in this fortress. The whole Klal Yisrael feels against him. So he's saying, basically, Yere Hashem, V'yoychach. Hashem, you be the witness, you be the judge. Hashem should strike you down. Yeah.
Similar lashon that Yaakov used with Lavan.
Correct.
Almost word to word.
It's a very powerful expression. Yere Hashem V'yoychach. We have Yehoyada. Zechariah ben Yehoyada, when he was killed by the king, by Yoash and by Klal Yisrael, he said, Yere Hashem v'yishpait. A different expression. May Hashem be the witness of what you are doing. You're killing me for no reason whatsoever. And v'yishpait. May Hashem be the judge. Here it says v'yochoch. V'yochoch means to prove, which is another expression, which means to be the judge. Let's see v'yochoch inyan biru. Look what you pasuk yud ches in the mitzvah Sion. Inyan biru dvarim. This means clarification. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs on these psukim pasuk yud zayin. Right, it's an expression of being the judge. Let's clarify the matter, and we'll decide who is innocent and who is guilty. David here is doing something very powerful. He's being moiser dinai l'shamayim. I'm not going to go to a court because there is no court to go to. Everything has been fixed against me. The system is corrupt. That's what he's saying. It's a corrupt system. I'm a loner. I'm in a fortress here, all alone. And here's you, Binyamin, Shaul. The whole colony is shown. And you're coming here to cause me harm. I have done nothing wrong. My hands are clean. So therefore, I'm being moiser dinai l'shamayim. Let's see pasuk yudzayin in the mitzudos. Pasuk, there is no yudzayin. Let's see pasuk. My version of Mamali Vayavrichu. You have yudzayin? I'm yudzayin. It says yudchas. Let's say yudchas. Vayetzei David bin Hamatzah. David, when he sees that this group has come to visit him, he exits. Yiyali, Ratzlem Hashem Yitain Belibi. If you want to be good to me, if you're coming in peace, you want to make peace with me, I'm willing to forget about the past. I'm willing to forget about all of the things that Shaul has done to me. I'm willing to forgive him for chasing me out of Klal Yisrael, running to the Pelishtim, and doing all of these things to save my life. Ratzlem Hashem Yitain Belibi. Now this is an amazing thing, what he's saying. He's asking, he's being mispalo. It's not easy to forgive. You need Hashem's help to forgive. He's being mispalo to Hashem, that Hashem should help him forgive his enemies. Think about that. We don't think about forgiveness in that form. We think that forgiveness all depends on us. Person comes and says, I'm sorry, I want you to forgive me. So it's not so easy to forgive. Who are we fooling? It's lip service, I forgive you. You have to really forgive. To really forgive takes a lot of effort. And sometimes you don't even have the koach to do so. You need siyata d'shmaya. Hashem has to inspire you to forgive. Yit Hashem yitim belibi. May Hashem inspire me. Sheyiye levavi aleichem. My heart should be with you. Lihios le'am echad. Ratzolaymar. Ahuvim zeloze. We should love each other. I'm being mispalel. I should forgive you. And we should be all together. But if you're not sincere, you're coming to trick me. You're coming to make believe you're my friend, to expose me, to make me vulnerable, and then to attack me. V'im, but if you're coming l'ramosani, al sherobochem yachesh shol, the reason why David suspected that there's some hanky-panky, because he saw people from the camp of Shaul, choshash b'davar, he was concerned. V'yomar, im bi'aschem heina, if you're coming here, l'ramosasi, to deceive me, l'man lo eheye nishma mikem, I should be off guard. The rights of Matem lists of saying you want to seize me, to capture me, and to cause me pain for no reason. Why is it for no reason? Because of the next words of the Pasek, because Beloi Chomas Bekapai, I have done you no harm. There is no chomas, violence or harm in my hands. Kiloyasisi Muumara Lishaol, I never did Shaul any harm. Then Yere Hashem v'yochach. May Hashem be the witness, and may Hashem clarify who here is really the guilty person. Yere Hashem ozai, then Yere Hashem b'hachamas. Hashem should look at the harm, your chamas, not my chamas. B'chamas hanaseli, the chamas that was done to me, v'yivorer es hadavar lios nigle hamirme, the matter should be clarified until the deceit is revealed. L'bal eshma lochem lios l'amechad, and that way I will be justified in not joining forces with you. He's being mispalel. It's very interesting. If you take it very literally, what he's saying is, it should be revealed to the world that you are corrupt. Most people today, they get away. You see all these stories in the news. People are corrupt. They get away with it. Why do you get away with it? Because you can't prove it. You can't prove it, so you maintain status quo. We maintain the status quo. We're all buddy-buddy. You're all part of the government. Everyone is all good and friends because you can't prove that I'm corrupt. I'm being mispalel, but I know you're corrupt. I know. I just can sense this corruption. I'm mispalo that it should be revealed, the corruption. And then when you have been delegitimized, you have been exposed as a fraud, automatically I have been vindicated that I am correct and you are. So it's he's not taking them on directly. He's not, according to the list of Mesudos, where he lives on the Pasuk, he's not telling them, I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send out a bolt of lightning and strike you out. I'm hoping that your corruption should be revealed, and then you will be delegitimized, and Mimela, I will be vindicated, that everyone will realize that I was correct for not joining you. So let's see.
Dead.
What?
Then you'll be dead.
Who? They'll be dead.
No, David.
No, he's alive. He's alive.
He's alive now.
No, he's in the very near future. In the very near future, he wants this to be clarified. So let's see over here the Mitsudos, the Rashi. Rashi says, what happened at this point in time? Pasuk Yud Zayin. Min B'nei Binyamin Yehuda. We now, from the B'nei Binyamin Yehuda, they come to greet David. Ad Lam Tzad. L'David, they come to greet David in his fortress. El HaMitsuda Shal David Nechbasham Ibn Shal. Why is David in the fortress? He's hiding from Shal. That's a very important point. And the only reason why I'm here, I'm outside of the main part of Eretz Yisrael where the Yishuv is because I'm running away from Shal.
So Shal was dead already.
No, right. But he's still afraid of his men. Enochan, Shal is dead, but he's still afraid of his men, of the whole the camp. V'lachli men ben. So what did they do? So they were very clever. In order that David should trust them that they're coming in peace, they brought with them David's nephew, the Lokhu Imohem ben Achois David, Lufish Doagu b'nei Binyamin mi David, because the people of Shevet Binyamin were afraid to approach David. They realized Shema Savahu David Shabo b'nei Binyamin likafoso b'lisito b'yat Shol. If you have a whole camp of Shol outside your front door, what are they coming here for? They're coming here to tie me up, to put me in a straitjacket, and to take me to the camp of Shaul, and Shaul's going to kill me, or Shaul's people are going to kill him. Lefichach, therefore, lachu Amosai. They took Amosai imohem, v'gam she'or miYehuda, other members of Shev Yehuda, k'revei David, k'dachsev min b'nei v'niyamin v'Yehuda, k'sheyire David, shabo imohem, be'emunasam, so that when they will see that they're coming with them in some good faith. Why would people from his own tribe come unless they're coming to make peace with David? Shelo yichoshdam b'chol davar, and David should not suspect there is any foul play. Pasuk Yitches, Vayetze David Levneyam, Min HaMatzah David, he exited the Matzah, the fortress. Vayan, Vayam Elohem, why are you coming? You want to make peace? Fine, I'll make peace. You want to deceive me? Then Hashem will be my witness and Hashem will punish you. Levav, my heart will be with you, one heart. If you want to make peace, it'll be levav leyochad. Levavchem, your heart, ulevavi, and my heart, yeah, kelev echad, will be one. V'yim le'ra mosani, litzarai, b'loy chamas b'chapai. If you're coming to deceive me, and to litzarai, to be my enemy, for no reason, because I have not done you any harm, ki ne'osisi l'shol. What did I do? Kihut sodo esnafshi lekachta alchinam. He tries to kill me for no reason whatsoever. Okay, we'll stop over here because the next part you test describes exactly the response. Shalom, shalom. The beautiful interpretations of this pasuk, the same davening, the next pasuk.